Okay, so as I mentioned, we're going to start talking in general about the halachos in Shulchan Aruch that appear after Hilchos HaRofi, the rules of a doctor, which we sort of covered all three of them last time. There are only three halachos in Shulchan Aruch. And then we're going to go sort of in order till the end of Yeridaya, dealing generally with Bikur Cholim and end of life issues, because that's where Shulchan Aruch puts them. And then we'll move to morning stuff and then Shabbos. Before we start that, though, we're going to take one introductory shiur. You thought last time was an introduction, this is another introduction, on the mitzvah, the permission and obligation to heal. Last time we talked about whether there's a mitzvah to study medicine or not, which is a little bit of a different question. Let's say you know what to do. How do you know that is there a mitzvah to save someone? How do you know that there's a mitzvah to save someone's life? Yeah. What's that mean?
Not stand on the blood of your brother. Well, it means if you see someone who is in maybe dying, you should help them.
You should help someone who is dying. Right? So let's just make sure if we say any Hebrew words or medical words or English words or things that sound like Hebrew or English, and they may or may not be, and you don't know, raise your hand, please tell me, because let's translate these words. Lo ta'amo, do not stand on your friend's blood. Means don't stand idly by while your friend's blood is being spilled. The Gemara explains, so if you see someone's life is in danger, you have to save his life. So this is a prohibition. Right? Lo ta'amod al dam ra'echa, you may not stand idly by. And it is a prohibition against doing nothing. Most prohibitions say don't do something, right? So lo tirtzach means don't kill. Don't eat not kosher means don't do an action. This is a different type of prohibition. Anyone know what this is called? It's different, right? Most prohibitions require you to violate the prohibition, right? You're doing something, and you're not allowed to do that. This one requires you to do something. Anyone what that's called? It's called the lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. A lav is a negative commandment. She'ein bo ma'aseh has no action associated with it. You violate it by inaction. We'll see that's relevant. Maybe not today, but we'll see why that's relevant. But it's important to realize that this is different than every other prohibition. So this is a prohibition, but we're looking for a mitzvah. What does that mean?
We're all responsible for each other.
Okay.
For well-being or of our brethren.
Okay. We are all responsible for the well-being of each other. A ravim generally refers to a monetary relationship in halacha, but you're right. It's using that phrase. It's borrowing from the monetary context to talk about more generally. This is not a mitzvah of min ha-Torah. It's an idea that we are, and it's more of a philosophical notion. But is it going to be a mitzvah per se? Is it one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah? You have to pick one of the 613. So you pick the negative one. We look for. So this is very important. Don't get me wrong. But it's not one of the 613. Yeah.
Maybe also
V'chai b'chem. What's V'chai b'chem?
In the context, I mean, you have to make sure to live and not violate something. Normally, you die for.
Right, so the Torah says the following. The Torah says, Eila ha-mitzvos, paraphrasing, Eila ha-mitzvos aser ya'aseh otam ha-adam. These are the mitzvos that a person should do, v'chai b'chem, and you should live through them. So it sounds on the face of what the Torah is giving you, like a little bit of a mussar shmooz. You do the mitzvos, you live through them, it's good for you. And the Gemara says, what do you mean, v'chai b'chem? The Gemara says, v'lo she'yomos b'chem. The mitzvos are here for you to live and not to die. Meaning that if you have the choice between doing a mitzvah or giving up your life, you don't have to give up your life. We'll see there are limits to that. We'll see that today. There are limits to that. But this is not going to be... That means that you do not have to give up your life in order to perform a mitzvah. How do I know that I have to help you out, though? Right? V'chai b'chem means that if you're dying, I have to help you. Right? It means that you at least have to help you, and we'll see if we expand it to other people. Anybody else? No? Okay, so we'll see there are two other, we'll see the Gemara inside. And what we saw, so we'll see those are, right? So these are going to be generally, this is going to be a very broad prohibition. You see that? So that's going to prevent me. So you're saying, no, if there's a prohibition to stand idly by, then I have to do something. So that's going to be, it's going to be a positive mitzvah to do because otherwise I'm going to violate. Yeah. That's what I'm asking. How do we know that pikuach nefesh? Pikuach nefesh is saving life. How do we know that you have to do that? How do we know it's a mitzvah in the Torah? Right? It says where it sits. It says You know, eat matzah on Pesach. How do you know? Just, right? Just basics. How do we know that you have to save a life? V'rapo yirapei. What does that mean? Right? V'rapo yirapei is the word refuah.
Is that referring to people or God?
Yes. So the word refuah means medicine. V'rapo yirapei is one of these biblical like double words. V'rapo yirapei means he will surely heal or you should heal or something. You can look up the King James Bible, how they translate it. What is it talking about? Anyone know? What's the context of that pasuk?
Nezek.
Right, nezek. If one person damages another person or causes damage to another person's, I guess, another person, so you're responsible for paying five different types of damage, right? You know what they are? Nezek, damage. You have to pay for the damage himself. Right. Sheves is the loss of work. Ripui is the medical bills. Boshes is the embarrassment, right? How do we judge that? That's a discussion in the Baba Kama. One more. Right, that's Sheves. We counted that. Tsar, the suffering that you suffer. So this is the, you have to pay the medical bills. So the Gemara says, we'll just write it down, it was in the Shulchan Aruch there. So Mikan, so from here, Shenitna, Rishus, Larofe. My Hebrew is, my handwriting is clear enough. So from here, we see that there is granted rishus, we'll translate it as permission for a doctor to heal. Right? You see from this puzzle that I'm responsible for someone's medical bills. So if I'm responsible for his medical bills, then I guess he should be going to a doctor, and it's something he should be doing because I'm responsible for it, right? So a doctor has the right to, or a doctor has, we'll see what rishus means, permission to heal. It's a little bit strange, right? So this is a Gemara in Bava Kama, on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, and it's in Brachos on Samach Amud Aleph, in case you want to look it up. So that's the Gemara. And we saw in Shulchan Aruch, it says the first halachos of Harofe, that the Torah gave permission for a doctor to heal. The Maritz Chiyas points out that the Rif and the Rambam, the standard commentaries in Shulchan Aruch, don't quote this. They don't say there's a Rishos. And the Rambam, when he's in the Parashat Mishnayos, in the Darim Dalad Dalad, he says the following. He says, V'lo nemar l'chol le'atzmo mipnei shehi mitzvah. So, this is strange, right? You have permission, the doctor has permission to heal. But it doesn't say that you have to go to a doctor. Right? So why? So the Rambam says, because you have a mitzvah to go to a doctor. You have to go and take care of yourself. And that's why this is, the doctor has permission to heal. So what's this permission? What's this rishus? So rishus, I translate it as permission. That's one way to understand it. And so why would you need permission to heal? Let's assume that that's what the word means for the moment. We'll see. Why would a doctor need permission? Why would you need, yeah?
You might take it as a, if someone got a bit sick, you might take it as a punishment from God for you to say that you don't deserve this punishment.
Right? So we're going to call that, right? So why do you need, so let's translate it as permission. Right? And because, who are you? Meaning, right? So that's... Right? I mean, everything happens, we believe, in this world because God wants it to happen. So, certainly, let's assume, there are certain diseases that come from, or certain machla, certain things that happen to you that are from heaven, right? It's not like someone ran you over with a car, but we could argue that that's also, right? God makes that happen. So let's say you get some disease, someone gets cancer, that's from God, right? He wanted you to have this. So who are you now to come and say, no, I know better. I'm going to go and get treated. He wanted you to have this disease. Yeah?
It's not like what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Like, they don't do blood transfusions. They believe that God can do a disease.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure about specific different religions. I know by them, they generally are just opposed to blood donation, but they'll do other types of medicine.
Oh.
They'll generally accept other medications that don't involve blood. So it's a sort of interesting thing. I'm not sure why. Yeah?
Does the case of Saras have anything to do with the discussion? Like in terms of it being a disease, but also a spiritual manifestation that you need to go and seek out or report?
Right. So Saras is, let's just explain. Saras, right, is the Torah talks about someone, and we translate this as leprosy. Saras is not leprosy. Leprosy is a type of is actually a bacterial-borne disease. It's sort of like tuberculosis. It's really bad and really contagious. And you don't go to a Kohen to get cured. You might infect the Kohen. And you don't need to bring korbanos. That will not heal you from your leprosy. You need medication. So we're going to assume that it's actually a spiritual disease with physical manifestations, like you said. So you could say everything that happens in this world, right? This is more of a philosophical discussion. Everything that happens, we believe, happens because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. So whether it's a physical disease with physical manifestation or a physical disease with a physical manifestation, who are you to interfere? So who are you to interfere?
Even there's another aspect that they might make it worse, so they're allowed to sort of interfere, even if they might make it worse.
Right, okay, so there's a risk.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But who are you let's get back to this. Who are you to interfere? Right, I mean...
You talked about you being a shaliach before, remember?
Right. Right. I mean, just take this an extra step, right? I mean, if you believe that God is the one who brings about the disease, and God is the one who created the doctor, and God is the one who made the doctor be able to help you, if God wants the doctor to be able to help you, he will. If God doesn't want the doctor to be able to help you, he won't be successful. So, right, the whole idea is, so you're not actually, so the Rishonim who talk about this phrase this as a stiras gzeras melech. Proceed on the words. To be soser, to be stira, is to contradict the gzera, the decree of the king. Right? It seems like you're contradicting the decree of the king. Right? He said be sick, and you're saying, no, I'm going to go and try to take some medication. So, right? But you're pointing out it's not a stira, it's gzera's melech. Because if it was, then it wouldn't work. Right? Because if God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. If he doesn't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. So you say, right, it's actually not a stira, it's gzera's melech. It just looks like a stira, it's gzera's melech. And that's why you need to have permission. Right? It's not actually, but it looks like it, and therefore you need to have permission in order to allow it to go forward. So it doesn't, the Torah is giving sanction to it. It's saying, don't worry about how it looks, it's okay. Right? And this is Tosfos and Baba Kama Pehei. So they say that when we're talking about a holy Shabbabi de Shamayim, right? You have to remember back in the day, they didn't actually understand causes of diseases. There were some diseases that seemed to be man-made, man-inflicted, and there are some diseases that seemed to be God inflicted, right? So he says, a holy habab de shamayim, a disease that you get because from shamayim, from heaven, from God, right, as opposed to one from man, whatever that means. Shemirapa nirik esoser gzeiras hamelech. It looks like you're contradicting the divine decree, kamash malon deshari, right? That you're allowed to do it, even though it looks bad, it's permissible. So the Moshe of Zakenim is the Tosfos' commentary on Chumash. So they say, let's take it another step forward, okay? So, don't forget your name. Yoni?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you said that if I go to the doctor and it works out, so then it's not supposed to exert a smell, right?
Yes.
Unless I go to the doctor and it doesn't work out, can I go to another doctor?
Well, yeah, because you went last time. You should go to someone.
Well, I should. But what about, I'm sorry?
Well, I remember this last week you talked about it. Someone has the knowledge that can help you.
So let's say I went to a doctor who's...
That person's licensed to do whatever he wants to do.
No, I went to the top specialist. I went to an appropriate person.
Right,
so the Moshe Rabbeinu says, L'havi rofe acha rofe. He says, no, but think about it like this. Maybe when you go to the first doctor and it doesn't work, you should say, okay, so God gave me the disease, and I went to the doctor and it didn't work, so it must be that he wants me to be sick. Right, at what point he says, no, so the Torah says, no, you can keep going. Going to a second doctor, meaning getting a second opinion, isn't nirik esoser gzeiras melech either. Because like we said last time, right, a doctor is considered to be a shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the doctor is sent to help you, so not lo mikol adam zocha adam leizrakos, you not always have the merit to be healed by each and every doctor. So it could be that some other doctor will help you. So the fact that it didn't work once, or twice, or three times, or four times, or five times, doesn't mean necessarily that that's how God wanted it to be. So you're still not nirik esoser gzeiras melech. Maybe you are near a kisoser gzeiras melech, but you are not soser. You are not actually contradicting the divine decree. Even if I look like that, and that's why the Torah gives you permission to go to a second doctor or to get a second opinion after the first one failed. Okay. So we'll get to the risk actually in a second. I'd like to put that over here, and I'll show you why in a minute. So we're not going to forget about it, but we'll get back. So. Yeah, let's get back to that in a minute, okay? So if why else would you need permission? I think of a reason that you would need permission.
Because
So permissions for what? So the Moshe Tzkenim also says that you might think that, right, this is a mitzvah. Right? You need permission to charge money. To even charge money for what we said last time, you're allowed to charge money at least for the, right, you're not allowed to charge money for the wisdom or the knowledge, in theory, but you're allowed to charge money for the fact that, you know, I could be on, I could be day trading right now and I'm not. Maybe not today. But I could be day trading in another country right now and I'm not. And therefore, maybe I can get my schar batala, the compensation for my time. You might think, no, it's a mitzvah, do it for free. So you're allowed to charge money, most of the scheme says. Yeah?
But if the doctor is your profession, then you're not a day trader.
But I could have been.
Oh, okay.
Meaning I'm doing a mitzvah now. I'm participating in a mitzvah, right? So I can't be compensated for it. This is what we talked about last time. I can't be compensated for doing a mitzvah because I could be doing something else. So what could I be doing else? So either we said if there's not a mitzvah midoraisa to treat a non-Jew, I could be treating a non-Jew getting paid, so I can get paid effectively the same rate. Or I could be doing something else, you have to compensate me appropriately. Now, how are you going to judge, right? You're saying, well, you're a doctor, so you're not going to be a very good day trader. So maybe I should pay you like a bad day trader. And you say, no, but I could be treating other people who I would be able to charge for, and so that's my skill set, so then you have to pay me appropriately. Okay, so that's one way to say is permission. The other way to define the word reshus is authority. Right, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos sometimes talks about the reshus as the malchus, the king, and the government. So it gives the doctor the authority to heal. So what do you think that means?
Do his work, his problem.
Why does he need authority? That gives him.
So
either allows him to receive payments, and these overlap a little bit. Rabbi Bleich likes to read this as, well, you know, you can go to a voodoo doctor, right? You can go do all sorts of strange things, but the Torah is sanctioning natural medicine. The Torah is saying, look, the doctor has the authority to do this, and because the Torah is sanctioning natural medicine, saying don't these other things, until they're proven to work through natural means, they're not going to be okay for you. You need to do something that we can prove or know about through natural means. We don't always, meaning especially in the back of the past, we didn't always know why medicine works, right? Today, you want to know why aspirin works, so I can give you the exact molecular mechanism, we can go through it, I can explain to you why it prevents strokes, why it's a blood thinner. When they found Tylenol and they found aspirin and it made people's pains and aches go away, they had no idea why. They guessed. Now we know, but at least it was empirical. There was studies, it was proven. You gave 10 people aspirin, they felt better. You gave 10 other people, you didn't give them anything, they didn't feel any better. So at least there's some natural science behind it. So either that you have to trust that you can you know, natural medicine. Or like Zamir said before, there's a risk, right? Every time you try to heal somebody, you're engaging in a risk. Maybe it won't succeed. So why am I allowed to, so we're talking about really sick patients, right? Why am I allowed to do that? Who gives me the right to interfere? Right? Who gives me right to interfere? I might actually harm this person. And think about, especially back in the day, the Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam says, you know, there's no medicine that's 100% good. He's picking up on a very important point, right? Every medicine has side effects. As slim chance as they might be, every medicine can do harm and can do good. And he points that out. So how do I know if it's going to be good or bad for you, right? So now we're trying to predict it based on genomics and, you know, getting a genomic profile to know which medicine is better for you and which medicine is better for another person. But in theory, we don't really know which medicine is going to be successful and which is not. It causes actually a lot of harm. So the Ramban says, so you shouldn't say, Mali Batsara said, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to have to, you know, it might be my fault that someone gets hurt. So no, you have the authority to do that. You're allowed to do that, given that you have the permission to do that and the authority, right? So they sort of blend a little bit. The doctor is permitted to do it. And Rav Kook says the following, yeah.
Does that mean the Torah saying that a doctor would not be liable for any, say, mistakes that he made, like malpractice?
So we saw that in the Hilchos HaRofe. The Shulchan Aruch is very, this is not halach lemaisa, okay? We're not
right.
Talking practically now for malpractice reasons.
Yeah.
But we saw last time that if a doctor, first of all, needs to get Rishus Bezdin from the local Bezdin, from the local, right, rabbinical convention, or in this day and age, it would probably be a license in order to practice. If he does not, he's certainly liable, right? Now the Shulchan Aruch says that if he has a license, if he has a Rishus Bezdin, and he does something by accident, so he's not liable bidei adam in the human court, but he's liable klapei shmaya to the heavenly court. He is still guilty and he needs to do tshuva, because it came about, you know, in the end, it came about through him. Whether he did everything right or not, assuming he did it, I mean, first of all, if someone's negligent, so then they're certainly, right? If someone's going to be negligent, they're certainly going to be guilty. But we're talking about someone who wasn't negligent. So in the human court, he's not, you know, that's okay. He got away with it. Not got away with it. You know, he didn't do anything wrong, but he still needs to do tshuva because it came about through him. Rav Kukla points out one other thing. He says, so ikar harefua mitzad chachmasa misupekasi. This is a theme in Rav Kook. He says, medicine is an empirical science, right? Meaning, we only know based on our observation, we can try to postulate a reason, and it's empirical and misupak. What's misupak? A suffix? It's doubtful, right? You don't really know if it's going to work or not. And he says, well, why not? Because if you knew it was going to work, if you knew there was certainly something that you could do to help yourself, you'd have to do it. There's a mitzvah. You have to keep yourself healthy and alive. So if it was certainly going to help, then you'd be obligated to do it. This is talking about things that we're not exactly sure if it'll help. We have to try, and that's why you need permission. He says, right? He says, "She'im haya davar bar, if it was clear that it would work, why would you ever think that you wouldn't have to do it? And you violate lo samar al dam reyecha, right? Lo samar al dam reyecha doesn't mean just your friend; it means you too, right? You can't stand idly by while your blood is being spilled. Meaning, go get help if you can.
He's saying if medicine wasn't guaranteed, was it guaranteed?
If it was guaranteed, yeah, you would absolutely have to. Right, so that's what he's saying. Mikan, he said, that's obvious. I wouldn't need a pasuk in the Torah to teach me that.
Right.
He's saying, I need the pasuk in the Torah to teach me that even when it's not guaranteed, there's still a mitzvah to do it. Okay?
Yeah.
Fine. So that's the general discussion of the doctrine, the authority, and the permission. And like, this is not a very clear distinction, always permission and authority. It's a nice way to think about it, but as you guys already saw, that they kind of blur. Okay, so we talked about last time about the appropriateness of engaging in medicine, right? So the Shulchan Aruch said, and we saw this, we can bring it up. Did it work? So this is Hilchos Harofe, the Dinei Harofe and Shulchan Aruch, all three of them. Can everyone see? I can shut up by the light. It's not critical.
It's getting better.
That was good. Okay. So Torah Rishus Harofe Larapos, the Torah gives permission for a doctor to heal. U mitzvahi, and it is a mitzvah. U bichlo pikoch nefeshi, and it is in the concept of pikoch nefesh. And you shouldn't say ve'ah ve'imoneas. When if you don't, and you know what you're doing, and you don't do it. So Areza Shofech Damim, it's if you've killed someone, because you could save them and you chose not to, right? You violate Lo Samar Adam Reyecha. V'afilu yesh lo misha yef enush lo minah kol Adam zoche le'ezrachos, right? And even if this person has somewhere to go, right? He can go to a hospital, but you're standing there, you have to help him, because maybe you're the person who God sent to help him. Yes?
Maybe if you interfere and then they die, because interfere.
Could be also, right? So That's what the Ramban said, though. If you know what you're doing, you have the authority to interfere. You should not say that. The Torah is coming and say, "Virapo yirapa mikan shenitna rishus larofe larapos." You shouldn't say, but there's a risk. You shouldn't say there's a risk. And the so the Medrash Shmuel says the following, exactly on your point. He says. No, it's a Medrash he saw last time. He said that. Someone might say, look, I don't want... Someone, the father tells his son, you should go study medicine. He goes, I don't really want to. Because, you know, there'll be some poor guy, and he won't be able to pay me. He says, that's not a reason. And he says, and I'll have to go... If I know how to heal him, then I'll have to go and do it. And, you know, and if I'll succeed, so... Okay, but he's poor, I'm not going to get anything out of it. And if I don't succeed, then he dies and everyone's going to blame me. He says, that's not a valid reason. If you know what you're doing, once you already know what you're doing, should you study it or not? We saw last time whether it's a mitzvah or not. That's a different story. Talking about someone who knows how to help someone. It doesn't have to be a dot, right? We're not, this Torah doesn't discuss degrees or like, you know, letters after your name. So if you're an EMT or you're MD, you know CPR, you're a lifeguard, it doesn't matter. Everyone's talking about their own skill set. So if you know how to save someone, right? If there's a baby walking into the street, everyone here knows how to save that baby. Pick up the baby, you know, bring it back to the sidewalk. You don't need to be a doctor. The fact that you're not a doctor is completely irrelevant, right? You know how to save that person. So whatever your skill set is, and you're confident that you can do it, you need to do it. And you're allowed to, right? Yeah. Okay. Question? Okay. So Dr. Avram, so I'm going to just cite, there's certain svarim that I think are very important in these areas, and so when we discuss them for the first or whatever time, I'll try to just highlight them. There's a sefer called Nishmas Avram. Anyone heard of it? No. It's in Hebrew and in English. It's written by Dr. Avram Sofer, Abraham Sofer Abraham. He was the chairman, I think, of the Department of Internal Medicine at Shari Tzedek. He trained in England. He's British, so he speaks his English as British. He speaks English pretty well. And he did his residency and fellowship in England. And then he came to Israel a couple years later. And when he came to Israel, I don't know exactly when it was, but all these medical halacha issues were in their infancy. They weren't really written about. And he was very close with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And so I have an email relationship with him. I don't know what that means. But I email him every so often, and when he has time, he emails me back. He's retired. He doesn't work anymore. But he writes Sfarim. And so he would tell me that, you know, every couple of nights a week, he would go to Rav Shlomo Zalman's house and talk over some of the situations with him and the patients and see what he had to say. So there are a lot of halachos that we only know because he calls himself a mailman. So he's a lot more than a mailman. He's a big Talmud Chacham. But he called himself a mailman that he presented all these questions to all these gedolim in Israel during when no one knew what they are, and he records all of them. And so there's tons of information in Nishmas Avram, especially just, you know, information from other Rabbanim. And he sometimes gives his own opinion as well, which I think is substantial. He pretends it's not, but it's still important. So he points out from here, he says, there's certainly an obligation in the Torah to keep yourself healthy. If there's an obligation to go to a doctor, and the doctor has a mitzvah to help you, there's certainly a mitzvah to help yourself. Right? It's not always obvious. But there's certainly a mitzvah to take care of oneself. And that's certainly important because, I mean, I think this is obvious that, you know, there are certain things that a person can do that shorten their lifespan or harm their own health, such as smoking. Smoking is very bad. Maybe we'll talk about whether it's permissible or not. Most Rabbanim today say smoking is forbidden. Why? Because you have to take care of yourself. Right? You have to, it's a mitzvah in order to stay healthy. Yeah.
Isn't that a separate mitzvah in the Torah to take care of yourself?
And to seek medical help? Could be. Maybe v'nishmarta ma'odim nafsho seichem means you need to be exceedingly careful with your own soul. What does that mean? The Rambam takes it in a certain way. But he says, certainly you see from here that you need to take care of yourself. So we'll just leave it at that. It might be a separate mitzvah, but it's certainly, it should be abundantly clear. We'll leave smoking out for a minute, if that's okay. And we'll talk about it in a separate occasion, because smoking is very interesting in that it does harm you, but it's hard to say when it harms you. So, well, let's talk about it right now. I'm not going to ask, so don't say. But when the person smokes, I'm not going to ask who smokes, okay? Or if you ever have, you should know that if you do, the moment you stop, then you're already increasing your life expectancy from that moment. No matter when you stop, it's always better than not. You can never be that far gone. Okay? Doesn't exist. Can never be that far gone. You can always save something. So we're finding out now that with every cigarette they're ready, you can see, right, the person when you smoke, you can get lung cancer. Right? Everyone is aware. Smoking kills. It's on big on the cigarette packets. They want to put pictures of like lungs and dead people on them now to like scare people. It's kind of silly. I think everyone is well aware that smoking is not good for you, but they do it anyway. Putting these pictures on is not going to help. But we now know that when you smoke, there are cellular changes that occur in your lungs at that moment. So it used to be they would say, look, you take one cigarette and what happens?
Nothing.
Right? And so you're smoking one cigarette, let's say. That's not you. Someone outside is smoking a cigarette, and what am I going to tell him? You're violating an isser, you're not safe. One cigarette doesn't do anything. And then he smokes another cigarette the next day. So is that one cigarette doing anything? Not really. It's a cumulative effect. So the question is, at what, it's going to be really hard to know at what point this person's violating an isser.
Wouldn't it be every time?
Well, let's assume we didn't know that there's something happening with each one. We thought it's accumulated. You need to have like X number until something happens.
Well, since it's addicting, it's the first one.
Right, since it's addictive, you're starting, right, you're starting a cycle that's going to make you continue. So it's hard to know whether that's an actual problem. I'm not condoning this in any way. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to pin it on Nisa Doraisa and say, look, you're starting you're setting up a system where you're going to harm yourself. Now that's very bad. Very bad. Terrible. You're killing yourself. Right? Yeah.
I don't understand why this is even being discussed. Is how many of us are going to walk out, see someone smoking, and go one number cigarette, and go, this is number one? 99% of people that are smoking are chain smokers.
Right, okay. But each action that they're doing...
Why are we even questioning which one? We know at this point, this guy, 99% sure, is definitely doing it on there. Is that the point? It's definitely hurting him.
But if each cigarette doesn't cause cellular damage, let's say... If each one doesn't, let's say, right? Now we know it does. But that's recent. That's recent. So the reason I'm telling you is so it's not true anymore, but historically you'll read some of this, you have to realize, if each cigarette doesn't cause cellular damage, you're not doing an Aveira. Each time you smoke, you're not doing anything wrong. Right? Technically. You didn't violate an ISSA. Each cigarette doesn't cause cellular damage. So
is that the requirement that each particular thing has?
I have to find you doing an ISSA. It's going to be hard to pin what violation are you violating. What ISSA are you violating?
You have to look at the bigger picture.
Right. You have
this month of your life where you smoke 3 packs a day.
So when did you? At what point did you? So I have to say you violate an ISSA when? Because if you're violating an ISSA, so let's think about it for a minute, right? If you're about to violate an ISSA, I have an obligation to stop you, right? If I see you about to eat chazer, I have to stop you. So at what point am I obligated to interfere? So my question is, if I see someone smoking and we can assume, let's say, that each cigarette is causing cellular damage, why do I not violate Lo Samar al Damreyacha when I don't pull the cigarette out of his mouth?
Well, if they're doing it unintentionally, sort of, they don't understand that there is damages every time.
They know. Come on.
Every time.
Well, now you know, so now you're stuck. And everyone in this room is stuck, right? Now you know. And now everyone who's listening. So, meaning, because... It's a question, but the person might smoke. I mean, if I'm not going to accomplish anything, so maybe I don't have to, right? Because he'll just smoke when I walk away. I'm not going to stand there all day. But now we know that each one, meaning the question was before, is there one Maisa Aveira that you're doing? And I don't know. Without saying there's this broad idea that you're violating an Isser over time, right? That doesn't usually exist. Doesn't mean it's right, and doesn't mean that Mid the Rabbanan and the rabbis, there's no rabbinic enactment not to do something so stupid. But it's hard to point. And now we know that each one causes cellular damage, so each one's going to be a problem. And so each cigarette is a Maisa Aveira, and you certainly shouldn't start, and you certainly should quit. And you want to talk to me about quitting after, you know someone who needs help quitting, it's not easy. So people who quit, it's not easy. People should just realize, whether you smoke or not, or you know people who do, it's really hard, it's chemically addicting. Some people can stop, some people cannot stop so easily. I think most people take 6 or 7 tries to quit. That's the average. Just be aware of that and supportive of... I think everyone should not smoke, and everyone should encourage everyone who knows to smoke to stop smoking. Be aware that it takes 6 or 7 tries sometimes for people to do it on average. Just not saying that's good or bad, it's just a fact. So we just need to be supportive of these people and not always yelling at them. So now I was doing the yelling part, now I'm trying to do the supportive part. Yeah?
What do you think that, even though you didn't know it was an Aveira to do it, it's still an Aveira? I mean, just because you were...
Separate discussion, right.
Right, just because you were negligent about it, doesn't necessarily mean that you...
So before I pull the cigarette out of your mouth, I should tell you that it's awesome.
Well, I mean, in the past, and they didn't know that each cigarette had caused cellular damage, wouldn't you think that even though they don't know it, it's still on there? I mean, because...
Right, but no one knew it. Meaning it's
know,
hard...
I mean, it's still happening.
Right, so you're asking you're asking a historical question now that we know something that wasn't true in the past. Right, so it's hard to know.
Cellular damage is happening 20 years ago, they just didn't know it.
Right, so did they do an Aveira now in retrospect?
Right.
So usually we assume that you have to judge by what we know right now. We can't judge by what we'll know in the future because otherwise we don't have a choice. It's not necessarily the most ideal, it's not as philosophically satisfying, but it's the only practical way to proceed, I think. Yeah?
Can smoking be under the umbrella of gluttony?
Of what?
Gluttony. I don't know, what's the Hebrew term?
Gluttony?
Yeah.
It could be.
Gluttony is someone who's eating things that are not back then they didn't have.
So Rav Moshe says that. He says, look, it's addictive.
There's more people that die from heart disease than lung failure.
You're assuming that cigarettes cause lung disease, cigarettes cause all sorts of cardiovascular problems, cigarettes can cause heart disease. But heart disease also.
Like, look at America, 40% are overweight and obese.
cigarettes probably
the guy eating the donut, the fat person eating the donut.
Probably also. So, the guy smoking. Okay, so can I stop a person from eating a donut?
People look at smoking as so bad.
Right, you're right. But
the person, if you're going to yell at someone smoking, go into the dining room and yell at a guy having their coconut fries.
Absolutely. If you see a fat man having coconut fries, maybe you should yell at him. in a supportive meaning, look, we're not trying to yell at people, we're trying to be supportive and trying to get them better, right? So we're not going to yell. We're going to do it in a very supportive way. We're going to try to ask a psychologist or a social worker or someone, what is the most supportive way and most effective way? We just want to be effective. What's the most effective way of doing this? But when he eats that Coke, when he drinks that Coke and eats those fries, is that my say, sir? It's the same question, right? It's hard. Well, what else did he eat today? It's hard to know.
But if the guy's clearly obese.
Right. So,
and he eats fries all day.
This is very bad. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely wrong. At that moment, right? It's hard to know. So he's saying also, Zamir's pointing out, though, there's nothing actually happening when he eats that Coke and drinks those fries, right? It is setting into motion something larger. It's setting into motion something larger. So we'll have to debate it.
There are calories that
you're right. But maybe he didn't eat for 3 hours. We'd have to be more careful before we start yelling at people.
There's no nutritional value to Coke and fries at all.
You have a treat?
Gossip.
He's probably right. There's probably no nutritional value to Coke and fries. I like Coke, I'm well aware. But, right? So, you're right. And gluttony, and Rav Moshe, when he's talking about cigarettes, and he's writing in the early 80s, so even the late 70s, I think, I don't remember. So he wants to say that each cigarette isn't necessarily a problem, and there are more people smoking who are healthy than people who are smoking who are sick at all times. That's what he assumes. Right? There are more healthy people smoking than sick than people who are sick from smoking, which is unfortunately true. Right? So he says, well, how do you know? So more people who are smoking are healthy. That's okay, because it's cumulative, right? But he says, but forget that. It's addictive. It's gluttony. It's a problem. I can't pin that on Nisr Daraisa, right? And can I stop it? So he's trying to find a prohibition for it, and he says it's really bad, and don't do it. And a person who cares about himself shouldn't, because it's gluttonous. And you're going after just your physical desires, and it's any addiction is going to be bad. And he says drugs in the same type of way, but he can't pin on this. But you're completely right, and obesity would certainly fall within that category. It's much more difficult to deal with, and sometimes, especially in like these type of shiur, we need to be really supportive, because the goal is to be effective, not just to yell and be right. Right? You don't want to be right. We know we're right. Smoking is bad. we're not arguing about it. It won't work. We just need to be effective. So what's the most effective way to deal with it is certainly not to yell. In this context, it might be okay. But we just need to be careful when we deal with people who have these problems that we just very supportive. And whether or not it's aligned Shulchan Aruch or not, we need to be effective. Okay. Fine. One last thing before we continue. How do we relate? Well, just one thing that I think is based on this, that it's a mitzvah. How do we relate to medicine? There is a, unfortunately, little-known halacha.
That I don't want it to be little-known. And so,
that won't be. Okay. So I apologize that most of these mitzvahs don't have nekudos, don't have vowelization, just because that's what I can get on the web. So if you feel comfortable reading it, you can raise your hand. If you don't feel comfortable reading it, I will not pick on anyone to read unless they volunteer. Just so anyone want to read? This is from Hilchos Brachos. I want to read Seif Dal. Anyone want to read? Go ahead. From here. Lehakizdam. What's Lehakizdam? To bloodlet, right? You put leeches on you and you suck out all the bad humors from the blood that the leech takes out of you. Okay? This was considered medicine. So you're going to do medicine, what do you say? Chinam. What does that mean? Let it be your will. For me. Because you are a Rofa Chinam. You are the Rofa Chinam. You are the, meaning all Rafua comes from you. And when you're done, you have to say a bracha also. So all the Mefarshim say, this applies to any type of medicine. You pop a pill, you're supposed to say this bracha. With Shema Malchus, Hashem Elokai, Elokai Avotai. Right? Hashem Elokai. You have to say Hashem's name. This is important. It's important, especially if you're going.
Hmm?
Yeah, this is halacha. This is Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
This is the Shulchan Aruch. And before you take any pill or before you undergo a procedure, any medical procedure that has therapeutic value, you need to say this.
What about like a doctor's checkup?
So a checkup, maybe not. But like, if you're certainly before surgery, or if you're gonna, you know, take an antibiotic, or you're taking an anti-migraine medication, or you're taking, yes.
But if it doesn't
work, then a bracha. No, it's not. So you didn't actually make a bracha, right? You didn't say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. But no, you're saying it. I am taking this. I hope it works. And I know you're in charge. So it's just an important frame of mind to have that. So Dr. Avram writes, Dr. Avram writes in his English safer. So he recommended that that mothers say this with children before they put Band-Aids on. Okay, so that's a little bit excessive, right? That's not necessarily the strict guidelines. And why? So you teach a child from early on, why does your knee get better when you scrape it? Because the Baruch wants your knee to get better. It just puts you in the right frame of mind. And you certainly can say, because there's no, it's not a brach, you don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, so it's not a good brach levatala. It just, it's an appropriate educational tool, and so now we know it. So now it's not a little known halacha anymore. There are a bunch of us in the room, now we know it, you can tell your friends. Yes?
Even for like a common pill, let's say, like an Advil?
Why not? If the Advil works. So you want to know, what if you're taking something to prevent something else? Okay, so we can talk about it.
Is this text on your children are, is it like
in a sitter? It's often not in the sitter. Which is probably why it's little known, right? I mean, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. No one disagrees. Yeah.
What does it mean, Rofei Chinam?
Rofei Chinam, a free doctor. So, what does Rofei Chinam mean? So, Dr. Avram points out. He says, "What is Chinam? God heals you for free. There's no other human physician who can heal you absolutely free. A doctor will either charge you money or cause you suffering. Right? It will either hurt or it will cost you in some way. God is the only one who can make you feel better." The Chida points out Rofei Chinam Begimatria is Shechina. So Kabbalistically it has more meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofei, he is the Rofei Chinam, he is the one who heals us because he wants to. And that's it. So I think it's just important. Now it's out of the way, it's no longer little known. And so now we know it. Good. So how do we know? Let's talk about the mitzvah now to heal someone. How do we know that there is a mitzvah? So let's erase this a little bit. So we have the Rabbi Yerabe, Sarah Svela, Bechaiba, and Klosh, and Los Samuel, and Recha. There is one more source. Anyone know it? It's a little bit strange. Vehashevotalo. Anyone know what that means? You have to return a lost item, a Shabbos Aveda. The Gemara says, if I have to return a lost, if you lose something, I have to return it to you. If you lose your health, I certainly have to return it to you. Interesting drasha. Okay, so let's see. Let's see this Gemara inside.
If Shabbos Aveda applies to like biological mechanism or something, does that apply to someone's happiness or someone emotional well-being?
Maybe. Perhaps if someone has lost their enjoyment in life, maybe have a mitzvah to return it to him.
It seems like it's starting to get really generalized.
Could be. So we're going to see, because there's the Gemara here. Interesting. Okay. So you see where the hand is? So the Gemara there says, Gufa. So I'll just read it. Minayin l'roes haveru shul kovea ba'nahar, o chayat orarto, o listin ba'yalav shul chayat ba'atzilo. Anyone know what that means? Anyone seen this Gemara before?
Yeah.
It's Gemara Sanhedrin. It's pretty famous.
Wherever you see that, if you see your friend driving a river, or there's animals surrounding him, or there's bandits, they're just supposed to help.
They're supposed to help Talmud Lomer. The Pasuk says, Lo samo del dam reacha. Something, your friend's in a life-threatening situation, you cannot stand idly by and watch his blood be spilled. Right? Lo samo del dam reacha. So the Gemara then asks the question. Anyone else want to read? You can keep reading if you want. I can read it. Okay. Right, so the Gemara is saying why? He goes, really, that's the source? Lo samar olam reyacha? Mehacha nafka, from here? Rather, it's from there. What do you mean from there?
Avedas gufo.
Avedas gufo minayin. How do you know if a person loses his body, you have to return it, meaning losing your health, or he's losing his life? Right, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And he's then the Gemara explain, right? Okay, so the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Okay, Rashi says, Hashavas Gufo La'atom. You lose an object, you have to return it, you lose your health, you lose your life, you have to return it. Okay? So the Gemara says, well, there's this prohibition of Otsan Olam Re'acha, and there's this Vashavosom. So how do we, well, which one's going to be, why do we need both Sukkim? Right, so the Gemara is now going to explain, why do I need both Sukkim? So, Ime Hasav, if it's from there, from the Hashevosalo. So, you want to keep reading?
Yeah.
That's an interesting difference. Okay, we're going to talk about different nafkaminas, different differences between these two sources in a minute. There are going to be lots of them.
Okay.
That's certainly one of them. One that I definitely didn't think of, but that's very good. Very sharp, but we'll get back to it. Okay, so Ime Hasav, if it's from there, if it's from Hashavas Aveda.
Alamina Hanibili Benafshir. So you would initially think that these words are only, I guess.
About what you have, your physical, you, what you can do. If it's Hashavas Aveda, I would say, if I can physically return it to him, I have to. Aval. You wouldn't have to. You wouldn't have to go out. Let's say, I mean, this guy needs heart surgery. I'm not a cardiac surgeon. So, okay, I'm done. I can't do it. No, you have to go and help him. You have to even expend money and expend effort. So the Gemara would say, from Vashevosalo, you'd think only that which you can do. If I can return the object, if I can return his life, fine. And the Lo Samo comes to say, yeah, even if it costs you money, even if you have to go and hire out other people, you have to help this person whatever way you can. Okay? Sorry.
You made it. Why do we need to sit here with Vashevosalo and the
Lo Samo and Damriyaha, right? It's this one and this one. The top and bottom. That's actually racist because we're not going to deal with them right now. Yeah. The Gemara is saying, why does the Gemara have to give us two pasuk? So it says, well, had we only had one pasuk, we would have only known X. So it comes along the second pasuk to teach us also Y. Okay, so had we only had Vashavas Aveda, Vashavosalo, the Gemara says, you would have only thought that which you're physically able to do on your own. Right? If you physically can eat matzah, so you're obligated to eat matzah. If you can physically, you know, you can, return the object, you have to return the object. But if it's beyond that, if you can't do it, you have to go and hire out people to go help you, you'd be exempt. The Torah says, Lo Samad Al Damariyach, if I teach you, even in that case, you're still obligated. Okay? So, we're going to now talk about for a couple of minutes how this Vashevosalo and Lo Samad Al Damariyach work. Now, which one is teaching us the din? Right? Because if it's from Vashevosalo, it's Hashavas Aveda, there's certain rules of Hashavas Aveda. As Yaakov pointed out before, well, what if he never had it? Right? It's hard to say if you never had this type of health, do I have to return it to him, right? It's not exactly correct, because you can't lose an object that you never had. So it just wouldn't apply. As opposed to where it applies, but I'm exempt. Yeah?
Also, like, the examples that Gemara gave were, like, he's about to be killed by, like, animals around him. What are you returning to?
Well, his life. It's about to be
gone.
It's not lost yet, so we're going to assume it's about to be lost.
Okay, so if something's about to be lost, then that's also what I'm supposed
to do. Maybe not, right? Interesting, right? Very good. So, the Cheshek Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger, says the following. He says, really, this is all about Hashavas Aveda. That's the primary mitzvah, right? Lo Samad Al Damariyacha just teaches you Metrach Agur Aguri, if you have to go and hire someone out. But the primary mitzvah is Hashavas Aveda. So in Hashavas Aveda, there are exemptions. Anyone know any? Well, say it. His exemption is Zakein Ve'eino Lefi Kvodo. You know what that means? Yeah? You don't know?
Other person that's going, you know, is giving up his respect, you know, to go out his way.
Yeah, right? What are you saying?
It wouldn't be put his status to go out his way.
Right?
Bend down and pick it up and brush it up.
Or like he's an older man, he's slopping this, you know, or he's like, you know, he's the president of the United States, it's like this smelly type of thing. It it's not right. Or he's a big rabbi and he's got to slap this dog somewhere with him. It's not befitting, right? So then you don't have to do a Shabbos Aveda. You don't have to degrade yourself in order to do a Shabbos Aveda. So he says, well, what if it's a medical? What if it's a medical concern? What if someone's life is in danger? But, I'm the king and I'm dressed in my royal finery and I don't want to jump into the river to save that guy. It's not befitting the king. So is he then exempt? He says, yeah.
Well, I would say you would say the exact same thing. If it had only said, Ashe Wasala, you think he's exempt.
Right, you think, so Kamash Malan, Lo Samar Adam Re'acha.
Yeah, then even that person would be.
That's right, so Rishlomo Kluger is assuming that Ashe Wasala is the primary, is the overriding principle, and Lo Samar Adam Re'acha just teaches something extra. But that which is guiding the mitzvah is Ashe Wasala. So Ashe Wasala is going to set the parameters for the mitzvah, right? And when you're exempt from Ashe Wasala, the Lo Samud is not going to kick in. Lo Samud is only going to kick in when it's boosting Vashe Vosalo. When I physically can't do it, but I can get someone else to do it, then I have to. Here, with Zaken Lefi Kvodo, I'm completely exempt. I never got my foot into the door. Right? So he says, when it's Zaken Lefi Kvodo, so there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, there's no mitzvah of the Ark of Saving. It's not befitting your stature. Right? So you have to come up with an interesting case medically, but I guess the king jumping into the river or something like that. It's not befitting, he's not going to do that, so he's exempt. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no. He says that, no, that doesn't happen at all. We do not pass this. I mean, Rav Shlomo Kluger says it, and he passes this way. He says, well, what's a zakin in the flik voda, right? So it's not befitting your stature to go and do it, right? So that means that if the zakin loses his own object, it was, his object that, make him all messy was lost, he wouldn't go get it either, right? It's not like he's, cheaping out on somebody else. He's saying it's not befitting his stature to go get that object at all. So he wouldn't do it even for himself. So Rav Moshe writes, so what kind of medical situation is the person not going to do it for himself? The person's certainly going to want someone to do it for himself. He's certainly going to want them to save him, even if it's degraded, right? Even if, let's assume, for the sake, we're not judging, we're not making a value judgment, the person assumes that if both his legs would be amputated, that is the einu l'fi kvodo. Again, not making a value judgment, that's the person's perception. So, don't have to do that. Eino l'fi kvodo, we'll talk about whether you have to do that or not separately, but from this perspective, eino l'fi kvodo, you don't have to do it.
It's not between the person's stature to, return the object, or just in general
to be seen returning the object, not having to deal with it. So it also refers to the person, right? So the doctor would say, look, I'm not going to get involved in this. This is gross and dirty, or this is not kvodo to do it. So he says, but that's only if you'd lose it yourself, right? If you'd lose it yourself, you'd want it returned. So too, when your friend loses it, you have to have it returned. So Ramosha assumes that every medical condition, the person would want it returned to himself, meaning he would want his life saved. And anytime you would want your life saved, then you have to go and save someone else. So even if this is true, it's not true. Meaning even if Rav Kluger is right, that Vashe Votalo is a controlling mitzvah here. Whatever fits in Vashe Votalo is what guides the mitzvah. And Zaki Ben Lufi Kvodo is really an exemption. He says, yeah, but that's a very, very, very exemption, right? It only applies when even the Zaken doesn't want to return to him. Okay? And so, he goes, and it's also, you're not allowed to lose your life. I mean, there's a violation, you're not allowed to lose your life either. And you can't say, well, my honor is more important to me than my own life. And so, given that I'm not allowed to give up my life for my own honor, so I would have to have my life returned to me, and therefore I would have to go and return, I would want that to happen, I would have to go do it. There's no case that this would apply to in a medical context. So even if Rishon Kluger is right, it's completely irrelevant. Right? Right, but irrelevant. Okay? So Minchas Chinuch has another, so that's the first example. Minchas Chinuch says there's another case of when you're exempt from Vashe Vosalo. Let's say I throw something out. Say, Aveda Midas. And Aveda Midas is, I didn't lose it by accident, I threw it out. So is there mitzvah Vashavas Aveda, you have to go through my trash and return to me everything I lost? No, right? So he says, so too a Me'abed Atzmo Ladas. Anyone know what that phrase means? Me'abed atzmo ladas? Is what? Right, losing your me'abed means to lose. Losing yourself knowledgeably, meaning suicide. You're trying to kill yourself. Okay.
Thing,
now that you know, maybe.
Yeah, you know, that says on the path, you know, you're hurting someone. So maybe you don't have to go yell because
according to Michas Chinuch. So we're not going to pass back to Michas Chinuch, unfortunately. Or maybe fortunately. So Me'aved Es Hamada. So maybe if someone's trying to kill himself, so I'm exempt. It's Aved Es Hamada, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to kill himself, so I'm exempt. Hashem Oselo.
What is the translation of Aved Es
Hamada? Aveda means something that's lost. Midas, knowingly, willingly. Meaning, I didn't lose it. I threw it out. Right, a rational person, so that's a philosophical argument. Would a rational person ever want to end their own life?
Right.
So that's just a discussion of philosophy in general.
Right.
A lot of us would like to assume no, some people assume yes. Right, depending on the situation, that's a more philosophical discussion. So let's assume this person has das and doesn't. So Rav Moshe says the same thing. He says, no, this whole line of reasoning doesn't apply. He says, L'abid nefesh ha'eno rashay af nefesh ha'asso. You're not allowed, meaning, this applies when, if I throw something out, you don't have to return it to me, right? Because I'm allowed to throw something out. You're not allowed to throw out your life. You're not allowed to do that. And so, the mitzvah applies because you weren't allowed to do what you did. If you threw something out, you don't have to return it, you don't want it anymore, and you're allowed to not want it anymore, so then there's no mitzvah shavas aveda. But if you lose it on purpose, you lose your life on purpose because you don't want it anymore, you're not allowed to do that. And he says, meaning the fact that you're, you know, losing your life on purpose, that you're not allowed to do that. He says, how could that be that other people are exempt from saving you? You're doing something wrong, right? In this case, you're not doing in aveda midas, in the regular standard case of aveda midas, you're not doing anything wrong. You just, you know, you don't want a lamp anymore, so you threw it out. But here, you're doing something wrong. So he says that can't be. It can't be that you're doing something wrong, and therefore the mitzvah doesn't apply. Okay. Okay, so.
So you have to stop someone who's trying to hurt
them. You certainly have to stop someone who's trying to hurt themselves. So now the question was, why with the cigarette? Maybe yes, maybe no. It's an interesting thing to think about. I wouldn't go recommend going pulling cigarettes out of people's mouths. It might be interesting to start up a conversation with them. You know, I'm not really sure why I don't have an application to pull the cigarette out of your mouth. Maybe it'll pull it stop, I don't know. That might be, I don't know what's effective with these people or not. There are experts in this area, though. So if you think about it back, you can now say, well, okay, so when we talk about the Steiros Gzeiros Melech, so what's going on, right? Do we say that, let's think about these two issues now in that framework. So we said, well, why do you need permission? Because it looks like you're doing something bad. So do you say that, no. Hashavas Aveda comes along and says, you're not contradicting any decree of the king. There's a mitzvah to do it. When you do it, there's no contradiction whatsoever, and it's okay. Or do you say, no. There is some contradiction here, right? It looks bad. It looks like God's trying to kill this guy, and I'm trying to save him. But we're allowed to do it anyway. Do you say that the contradiction still stands, or the contradiction falls apart? And why is this relevant? Because it might be, how much do you compare Pekuach Nefesh to Hashavas Aveda? Right? The more you compare to Hashavas Aveda, you say, there's a real mitzvah here. There's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And the more there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, you say, well, there's a mitzvah to do it, and therefore there's no contradiction at all. Or not, you can say, Hashavas Aveda, they're not exactly parallel. Hashavas Aveda isn't completely controlling, right? But, you say, there's more room to say that there's a Gzeiros Melech. So what do I mean? Or Shlomo Kluger wanted to say Zaken Din Lefi Kvodo means Hashavas Aveda is completely controlling the situation. Whatever doesn't apply to Hashavas Aveda doesn't apply to Pekuach Nefesh. It's really Hashavas Aveda going on, right? Or if you say Aveda Midas Me'aved Es Hamadas, right, is your exempt, is saying Hashavas Aveda is really controlling here. And it seems like Rav Moshe is saying, whoa, Hashavas Aveda is a part of the picture, but it's not the whole picture completely, right? It's not that the mitzvah completely overrides everything. Hashavas Aveda is there, but there are other issues going on as well. Just before we end, we'll see. So we should just be aware that there are other sources differentiating between when, why you need permission to heal and not. The Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Bechaye says that you're only allowed to heal those injuries that are visible on the outside. Not allowed to heal internal problems. No, the internal bleeding. Not emotional problems, right? They don't know what emotional problems are. This is like a modern thing. We're talking about, like, you know, cancer.
Is that because being invasive might kill a person?
No.
In those times, if you were to cut them open?
Maybe not. He's saying, no, 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 it's that which is hidden from you, you have to let go. That's Zeres Melech too outright. When it's a man-made problem, right, if someone chops off the guy's hand and I'm going to go and cauterize him and, you know, prevent it from bleeding, so I'm preventing a man-made problem. But an internal malady, they're assuming, is you know, that's from God. So you can see that some of the Rishonim took this really seriously, that Zeres Melech still applies in the end, right? Meaning it's the same idea. Before we were saying, is there still a contradiction or not? Is there a contradiction, but it's okay anyway? Or there's no contradiction at all? So it seems like they're saying, no, there's a contradiction. You're so civic Zeres Melech. In certain circumstances where it seems like that, it's okay. So, you know, someone has an external malady that I can see and I can deal with, you know, then I can see it, I can deal with it, so then that's okay. But that which I can't see, that which I don't know about, and I can only kind of speculate because it's inside, that's already considered Steer's Xeris Melech. So the question would be for these Rishonim, what about now that we have imaging studies, you can do an MRI or a CAT scan, I can see everything? Right, is it based on what I can see? Or is it based on, and therefore if I can see it, so then, no, if I can see it, I can treat it because I know that it's, what I know what I'm treating, and therefore it doesn't seem like a Steer's Xeris Melech. Right, when they don't know what I'm treating, and you have to imagine back in the day, they didn't know what they were treating. Person has a stomach ache for like 3.5 weeks. They don't have the treating exactly. They can't tell always. Sometimes they could, sometimes they can't. And that looks like a Steer's Xeris Melech. I don't even know what I'm doing. But today, if I know, like, okay, you know, there's this benign tumor, I can just pull it out, and the person will be healthy. Maybe not. So you have to see that maybe on an internal problem, right? They're saying it's simcha here before. Are we going to say yes, contradiction? But, or no contradiction? So it seems like these Rishonim are saying, yeah, there's a contradiction, but in certain circumstances, it's okay. When it's internal, it's not. And if you want to say, because I can't see, I don't know what I'm treating, so maybe when they do know what I'm treating, it might be different, and they might agree today. Okay? And so... Okay, any questions on that? On the difference between Bosalo and Lo Samud or the Chakir, whether there's contradiction or not? Is Ibn Ezra in the Rina B'chaye? Yeah. The Ibn Ezra is, if you're interested in Shmos, Kaf Aleph, Yotes, and the Rina B'chaye is there also. That's on the Verakwa Yerapin. Yeah?
Is this really what we believe now that the main source is Bashevosa?
Right, so we're going to pass in like Igros Moshe, right? The Rav Shlomo Kluger is one of these, bring up these extreme positions, right? We're just using that to highlight something. We're going to say, look, like Rav Moshe said, Vashei Voselo is not the only controlling factor. Rav Shlomo Kluger wants to say yes, and therefore all the exemptions from Vashei Voselo apply. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said, no, not really. He doesn't want to accept that at all. He, first of all, says, that's just wrong. He says, that's just wrong, I don't accept that. And then he goes on, he says, you should just know it's wrong. Just flat out, I don't really want to talk about it anymore, but I will. And then he tries to tell you why it's wrong. But we don't accept it. So halacha l'maaseh said we do not accept that we treat everyone, even someone who's attempting to commit suicide, either because we assume it can never be ladas, which may or may not be correct at this point. We have to judge, you know, can someone take their own life willingly and knowingly, and we assume that what they're doing is rational? And if we can't, so then, you know, what they're doing is irrational, we can save them. And even if it was rational, even if you could argue, it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. We're still going to do it. And you can't say zakei v'ein lefi kvodo, where it's inappropriate or not befitting to save your own life. We still do it. We do it in almost in every circumstance, right? You cannot get out of this proposal. Okay? Fine. We have a couple of minutes. We'll continue to the next topic is how do we know? So now we know that, yes.
So you said if there's yes contradiction, but if you see what you're, if you know how to treat it and it's visible, then it's fine.
So I'm saying, let's, Rabbeinu B'chaye and Ibn Ezra, I'm saying that's how they understood it, right?
Yeah, I'm saying that falls under category.
Right, I'm saying there seems to be two ways of understanding it. Like Rav Shlomo Kluger, right, you can see these extreme positions. These are extreme positions that we're talking about, right? Mainstream Judaism never heard of any of these things. Ibn Ezra and Ibn Bechai said, oh, internal things not. So I'm saying, well, how did they understand this Gemara? Why internal things not? What about this Gemara? So I'm saying they understood that there's still a contradiction, right? But we're allowed to do very limited things. So you're allowed to do that, which I know that I'm suggesting. Why internal versus external? That which I know which I'm treating versus that which I don't know that I'm treating. I don't know exactly what I'm treating. So internal, I don't know exactly what I'm treating. So it seems like you don't even know what you're doing. You're contradicting the divine decree. Because you're trying to do whatever you can to say, you don't even know what's flying. Right? Maybe that's a suggestion. They don't exactly say. So I'm saying maybe today, when we do know more or less what we're treating, usually that might be okay. So now that we know that it's a mitzvah, right, to save a life, and we understood how it is a mitzvah, and it's actually vo solo or lo samel and reference, it's obligate us to do things. So okay, so it's a mitzvah. So we're going to do it, and you know, we'll go up to Shemaim, and we will all get checks on the mitzvah column, and Rosh Hashanah is coming up, and that is going to be wonderful for us. We'll have more checks on the mitzvah column than the aver column. Right? So it's a little bit more than that, because we want to know, if it's a mitzvah, can we violate a prohibition to do this mitzvah? Right? So the fact that it's a mitzvah means, well, we have to do it, good, and we'll get a check in the box. That's God's business. The fact that I have to do it, that's my business. The fact that I get a check in the box is His business. So we'll just look at it briefly. I'm assuming many people may or may not have seen this Gemara before. And we'll just read the beginning of it, because it's just very fascinating. We're going to see this stuff in Gemara. This is Yuma Pehe Amar Aleph, which we will be seeing a lot of, because this is a page chock full of information. So I'll just read the part over here. It's just fascinating. Over here, from where this dalet is, where the hand is. It says, Ukvar hayo Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar, and Azayim, and Halpin Bader. They're all walking in the group. They're hanging out. The lady Hasadar, Rabbi Shmuel, but also Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mahalchin Afrayah. And lady Hasadar and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's son, is behind them. Nishal Sheela Zugifnehem. And this question was asked. I guess, you know, they're walking, they're schmoozing. Minayin Pikuach Nefesh Shedofes HaShabbos. How do you know the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh is Dof HaShabbos? How do you know that you're allowed to violate Shabbos to save someone's life? And we're going to discuss that. Anyone have any idea? So v'chai b'em, right? We wrote that before. What else? The Gemara brings up. It's fascinating, right? You think, well, of course you can, right? Of course we violate prohibitions to save someone's life, right? What three right? That's the rule, right? Pikuach nefesh is docha kol ha'isurim shebatorah. To save someone's life, we do everything, except for three things. And the avodah zarah, right? Murder, forbidden relationships that fall into the category of gilui arayos, and being vague on purpose, or that which is considered avodah zarah. Anything else, right, that we all know that, right? Or we should know that. Any other iser, we violate for. So isn't this a little bit strange? And the way they're hanging, it's a whole story. How do we know? So even the assumption of the story is, they were walking and now they're looking for us. Meaning, what does that mean? How do I know that it's true? Right, the assumption is that it's true, right? Everyone assumes it's true. So at least we can take a breath until Wednesday. No one has to hold their breath. It certainly is true. Shabbos doesn't happen before Wednesday, so you'll be okay. They're searching for a source, and we'll see. Well, they have a tradition that it's permissible. What's the drasha and the psukim that's going to permit it? And we'll see what happens at the end. It gets very interesting. So next time we'll talk. We'll finish the Pikuach Nefesh, and we'll move on to Bikur Cholim and Tefillah. Tefillah for Bikur Cholim, and I mentioned also we'll start talking about the assignment for next time. And I'll bring in a short article. I'll show you. We'll go through that article that I bring in and how you would do that assignment with that article. Okay? All right. We'll see you Wednesday.